You're listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast.
Hey, today I do want to begin a new series called Uncommon Sense. Uncommon Sense. The 18th century is referred to as the agricultural age, where farmers ruled and landowners were prosperous. The agricultural age gave way to the 19th century, which is known as the industrial age, where factory work was the labor force and factory owners were making fortunes. Somewhere in the mid-20th century, we arrived at what is known as the information age. Now, information is at our fingertips. Knowledge is easily accessible. I mean, right now, you could look up just about anything that you wanted to look up. With the inventions of the internet, search engines, and now artificial intelligence, I don't see the information age coming to an end in the near future, if ever. It kind of feels like the information age is here to stay. And so if you want to know and find out information, you can. And I know tonight is the Oscars, and so, you know, just thinking about it a little bit, if you wanted to know who won the most Academy Awards, you could simply perform a Google search on your phone really quick, and you could realize that the answer is Walt Disney with 22 Oscars. 22 Oscars that the late Walt Disney has won. If you want to know which NBA team has won the most championships, I'll give you time if you want to look it up. It's the Boston Celtics, of course, with 18 NBA championships. If you want to know who wrote the Newbery Times bestseller, Big Dreams in a Small Town, like you don't already know, just Google it. Information is readily available and easily accessible. You understand what I'm getting at. It's right there. But church, I want you to understand that knowledge and wisdom are two totally different things. Knowledge and wisdom are completely different. My social media feeds are filled with lots of knowledge, but very little wisdom. I'm not saying my post, I'm saying your post. Lots of knowledge out there, but there's very little wisdom. And what I've also come to realize is that knowledge can be biased depending on which side of the aisle you sit on. And I mean, I'm not even going to get into it, but just look at the events of this past week. Some people are praising President Trump for the way he handled the Ukrainian president, and other people are offended by it. And again, it just depends on which side of the aisle you're on. And there's a lot of information out there, but there's very little wisdom in talking about it. Knowledge without wisdom is not a good thing. I think back to the Garden of Eden. Now think about this. God told Adam and Eve they could eat from every tree in the garden except for one. You can eat from every tree in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Think about the name of that. The tree is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It gives you the knowledge of good and evil. That's the fruit of that. You will now be able to determine what is good and what is bad. Okay? You will have the knowledge of good and evil. And so God says you can eat from any tree in the garden except for that one. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as Satan always does, he painted a lie that was camouflaged in a half-truth. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 says, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" And so it's kind of a half-truth. Yes, you will be like God in knowing good and evil. But what they failed to realize and what Satan didn't let them know is that they would not have the wisdom to process good and evil. They may have the knowledge of it, but they were not going to be gifted with the wisdom to process how to deal with good and evil. Job 12 and 13 tells us, "But true wisdom and power are found in God. Counsel and understanding are his." You see, this is an attribute that belongs to God. Wisdom belongs to God. Adam and Eve had knowledge, but they did not have wisdom. And there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. The world right now needs wisdom. The world needs wisdom. We need wisdom, and we don't necessarily need any more knowledge. We've got plenty of knowledge. We've got an abundance of knowledge. But we need wisdom. Husbands need wisdom. I thought all the wives in the room would say amen. Men, here's your chance. Wives need wisdom. You're idiots. Parents need wisdom. Parents, we need wisdom, right? Children need wisdom. Our grandchildren need wisdom. Business owners need wisdom. Employers need wisdom. Employees need wisdom. Teachers need wisdom. Students need wisdom. Coaches need wisdom. Student athletes need wisdom. Politicians need wisdom. I'll say it again for those in the back. Politicians need wisdom. Voters need wisdom. Parishioners need wisdom. And your pastor needs wisdom. I need wisdom now more than I've ever needed wisdom in my life. We all need wisdom, and in order to lay the foundation for the rest of this series, we first have to define what wisdom is. For us to understand this, I think, sets us up to receive for the rest of this series. So for the purpose of this series, we will define wisdom as the ability to know and apply truth that aligns with God's will and way. Okay, let me read that again. The ability to know and apply truth that aligns with God's will and God's way. Why do we need this wisdom? Why is this so important for us? We need wisdom for our personal decision making. Like, there's not a decision that I make in life that I don't need heaven's wisdom. I need divine wisdom. We need wisdom to gain insight into tough situations. We need wisdom to offer advice, good advice, godly advice to other people. We need wisdom. But church, I've come to realize that wisdom is not common sense, and so many people think it is. Wisdom is not common sense. Wisdom is uncommon sense because not very many people have it. So it's uncommon. Not everybody has it, but here's the great news. Everybody has the opportunity to obtain it. Wisdom is a gift from God. And one of the best examples of wisdom in all of the Bible is, of course, King Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3 is where I'll be reading from this morning. 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon was King David's son, and he was next in line for the throne. It was his coronation. And he was tasked with not only being the third king of Israel, but he would also have the responsibility of building the first temple. Understand that his father was not allowed by God to build the temple, that holy place, because he had too much blood on his hands. The Bible says that David had killed his tens of thousands. And the Bible says that God did not task him, would not allow him to build the temple, but he helped set his son up so that he would be able to build the temple. That first temple was magnificent. It was a magnificent structure that would require materials and riches beyond the borders of Israel. And so in order to do this, Solomon was going to have excellent foreign policy. He was going to have great foreign partnerships. He would reign from the throne for approximately 40 years, and Solomon was instrumental in uniting the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And this was all made possible by this one simple prayer. And I want to read it to you today. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to offer, to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father. because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for, or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for what you are about to show us. God, I believe that you are about to stir up a hunger and a desire within each of us to seek your wisdom, to have your heart, to have your understanding, Lord. From the beginning of humanity, we have sought knowledge. But knowledge is not enough, Lord. We need your wisdom. It's not enough just to know what is good and what is wrong. God, we need to know how to process. We need your divine direction, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. Once again, I appreciate your grace with me today. We're going to make it through this. Amen. The Hebrew word that's translated as wisdom is the word chokmah. Chokmah. And it certainly involves moral insight, but it is also described as a skill. It is not merely intellectual knowledge, but involves the application of knowledge in making godly decisions. It is a skill. It is the ability to perform. You have no doubt witnessed standout athletes that have a natural ability to perform. Maybe they can run faster than anyone else. Maybe just by their physique, they are stronger than anyone else on the team or any competitor. You've seen these athletes that have natural instincts. They are skilled. And this Hebrew word that is used for wisdom alludes to the fact that godly wisdom is granted as a skill that gives you an advantage. It is an attribute given by God that gives you a natural advantage, or a supernatural advantage, if you will. Solomon prayed for wisdom to govern God's people, and the Lord gave him a skill to make godly decisions. He gave him wisdom. Now think about this transaction on how this took place. God gave him a blank check. While he was dreaming, and he has this vision of God, God says to him, ask me for whatever you want. It's a blank check. Solomon, you determine what you want me to gift you with. What do you want me to do for you? And Solomon could have asked for riches. He could have asked for honor. He could have asked for favor. He could have asked for unity in his nation. He could have asked for influence and power over other nations. But when God put him on the spot, he made one of the best requests he could have asked for. God, give me an understanding mind. Give me wisdom. And that is exactly what God did. God blessed Solomon with wisdom to govern and lead the nation of Israel. And just to help us see how practical this divine assistance was, we immediately see how God used Solomon. In this same chapter, we see that one of the responsibilities of the throne was to act as a judge to help people settle their disputes. One of Solomon's first trials came in the form of two prostitutes. Apparently, they lived together in the same house, and they each had a child within 3 days of each other. One night, according to one of the prostitutes, the other one rolled on top of her child, thus suffocating the child. She said somewhere around midnight, she replaced my living child with her dead child, and when I woke up the next morning, I went to nurse that child and noticed it was not breathing, but I also realized it's not my child. So she said, but the living child is mine, and the other woman said, no, the living child is mine, the dead one is hers. What is a king to do? It's the classic case of she said versus she said. It's one person's word against another person's word. And think about this, church. There's no DNA test to determine this. There's no birth certificate. There's no fingerprints. There's no footprints. There's no way to determine this. And so it's nearly an impossible task for this young king. But he was anointed with wisdom from God, and Solomon gives the following instructions. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 23. Then the king said, the one says, this is my son that is alive, and your son is dead. And the other says, no, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one. And the king said, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Now some of you are like, whoa, what? Where's the wisdom in this? Oh, let it play out. The king knows exactly what he's doing. Divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, oh my Lord, give her the living child and by no means put him to death. But the other said, he shall be neither mine nor yours, divide him. Then the king answered and said, give the living child to the first woman and by no means put him to death. She is his mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Church, can you imagine? Can you imagine what it would be like to make such great decisions that people recognize the wisdom of God on your life? What if that was an attribute that was actually tangible that people could see? Like when you walk in a room, they sense that this is a person that is flowing with divine wisdom, that God has gifted them with discernment, that God has blessed them with the ability to make wise decisions. It is truly a gift from God. And church, this is the goal. In the New Testament, in James chapter 1 and verse 5, the brother of Jesus tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. This tells me that wisdom, the same wisdom that God granted into King Solomon's life, that wisdom is available to us as believers. James said, if we lack wisdom, we can ask God, who gives it generously. We don't have to beg for wisdom. We just have to be open and ready to receive wisdom from God. But first of all, we have to be willing to ask for it. God is the giver of wisdom, and he wants to give it to you. The question is this, do you really want it? Do you really want wisdom? Because when you operate in wisdom, it's going to cause you to think differently than you do right now. When you operate in wisdom, it's going to cause you to make decisions that are different than the way you make decisions right now. Because when you operate in godly wisdom and you pray, God, give me that wisdom, You cannot continue to do life the way that you do life right now. So really quick, and I've got to finish up because I'm not going to have a voice here soon, but when seeking wisdom from God, there are three things that you must remember. Three things. The first one is this. Wisdom begins with wisdom. Wisdom begins with wisdom. Solomon made the most important decision of his life before he prayed for wisdom. Think about it. Before he prayed for wisdom, he was already operating in wisdom. He recognized that he was not wise enough to govern God's people. He knew that on his own, he could not do this. Wisdom begets wisdom. In other words, the ability to act with wisdom begins with an act of wisdom. So it's simply this. Be wise enough to know that you're not wise. Okay, maybe you're too prideful. I'll let you know right now, I'm not wise enough. I'm not. I need the anointing of God. I need the wisdom of God. I need the blessing of God. I need the discernment of God. I need that on my life. And I'm wise enough to tell you that I'm not wise enough. The second thing is this. Pray for his will, not yours. When you are praying, you have to pray for God's will, not your will. You can't go into it with your own agenda. You must empty yourself of your own personal desires. You've got to empty yourself of your personal goals. You've really got to come into it with this clear conscience in mind and say, God, I know that there's things that I desire. I know there's things that I want for my life. But in this moment right now, God, I am seeking you. I want to know what your will is, and I'm willing to lay everything that I want, everything I desire, I'm willing to lay it aside because I want to seek your will and not my own will. And the third thing is this, fear the Lord in every decision. This doesn't mean to be afraid of the Lord. This word fear means to be reverent, to be respectful of the Lord. Be respectful of the Lord in every decision. We'll dig into this some more during this series, but Solomon would write a whole book of wisdom. And in Proverbs, Solomon writes in chapter 9 and verse 10, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. But don't miss what he said. The fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. Listen, in pastoring, God has afforded me the opportunity to speak wisdom into many lives, and I don't take that for granted. But one of the most frustrating parts for me, and I'm just going to air it out right now, hadn't felt good this week, so I just got to get some things off my chest. But one of the most frustrating parts for me is when someone asks for your time and asks for your advice, and you give them good, godly, sound advice, and then they go out and do just the opposite. What kind of morons are we dealing with? Right? Like what? It just frustrates me. And I know that God is so much more gracious than I am. But I wonder what it does to God sometimes when we seek God's wisdom, and then we don't have the respect to walk it out when he gives it to us. Church, we have to show more reverence and more respect to God than that. If we're going to pray for godly wisdom, then we've got to have the courage to walk it out when he gives it to us. I'm gonna finish this up. When I came to Newberry in 2006 to plant this church, I was a young 31-year-old first-time pastor. I had been a youth pastor and associate pastor for about 9 years total. But I had never pastored a church. It was new to me. And I've told some of you that have been with me since the early days, I appreciate you so much for allowing me to grow as we grew. Because I know that I was not the leader that you were probably hoping for and looking for. But God has grown me and matured me. But I'm 50 now. I was 31 years old when we planted this church. And the last Sunday that we were in Tampa, before we would start making the transition to come this way, but the last Sunday we were at the church that I was on staff at in Tampa, University Church. At last Sunday, they prayed over us, and they were sending us out. And after church, people were walking up to us, and there's a thing that we call in ministry. It's called the Holy Ghost handshake. Does anybody have a clue what I'm talking about when you say the Holy Ghost handshake? Okay, it just means that somebody walks up to you and hands you money, and that's all it is. We call it a Holy Ghost handshake, and it's just a gift. It's just money, and it's like, okay, it's a horrible name for it, but nevertheless, it's what it's referred to. And I remember that there was this couple, Mark and Faith, very respected couple in the church. He was on the pastor's council. And they came walking up to me, and I could see something in their hand. And I thought, oh, Lord, this is going to be great. I'm looking forward for this Holy Ghost handshake already. And Mark drove a very nice Harley. And I'm thinking, man, this is going to be great. And they walked up to me and they said, Rocky, we believe in you. We're so proud of you. And they handed me an index card. Nothing else attached to it. Just an index card. And I'm like, oh, you know. And they said, this is our prayer for you, and we pray that you will continue to pray this. And they handed me the index card, and they walked off. Later, I looked at it, and it was Solomon's prayer. It was the very prayer that Solomon prayed as he was walking into his kingship. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people? And it was better than any Holy Ghost handshake anyone could give me. It was better than riches. It was better than notoriety. It was better than any gift anyone could give me. Because I still have that card today, and I keep it accessible. And I pray that prayer often. God, I need your wisdom because I'm not capable of doing this without you. And what God has done at this church is far beyond any ability that I have in my life. It's far beyond any skill that I have in my life. But God has been faithful. And he has honored that prayer time and time again. And I'm not claiming to be the wisest person you know. I'm not. There's people in this room that are much more wiser than I am. But I thank God that he's given me the ability, the skill, to discern between right and wrong. I thank God that he's given me the ability, the skill, to guide and lead this church and to govern his great people. Because without that, I know that I would have failed miserably a long time ago. And if God will do that for me, don't you know he'll do that for you? Don't you know that he'll do that for you? This month, we're going to continue going down this path. And we're going to look at all the different ways that we can gain wisdom and understanding and how God can use it for his glory. But first, we just have to be willing and recognize our inabilities. And when we reach that place, I know that that's the perfect place for God to show up. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. But often, we're too proud to display our weakness. At 31 years old, I was not capable. And at 50 years old, I'm still not. And that's why I keep praying. God, give me your wisdom.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.